Well, we've come here this evening and we come from various situations and backgrounds. We've got our own homes and our own situations going on at home, and perhaps at work situations going on there. And I wonder, as we come here together this evening, what trial or burden might be upon your heart. You don't know my trials, my difficulties. I don't know anything of the difficulties that you might be experiencing. But what's that thing that most presses down upon you? What's the thing that's weighing most upon you? What is upon your mind day after day? When you lie down to sleep this evening, what is that thing that's going to keep you from getting rest and refreshment? Well, if I were to say to you, whatever it is that comes to your mind, whatever the trouble or the difficulty might be, if I were to say to you, well, just don't worry about it. Everything's going to work out all right. It's going to be okay in the end. You'd think that was quite a flippant thing to say, just an empty sentiment. And you'd rightly feel hurt, especially if it's a burden that has been with you for some time, and you're finding the difficulty of dealing with it. But what if someone were to come here this evening and to say to you, well, I've suffered, I've been hurt, I've been troubled, I've been broken. Perhaps I've been broken in more ways than you have been or you ever will be. Then perhaps you'd give them more attention when they give advice or instruction. Well, I don't know your situations or your problems or your trials, whatever they might be. Perhaps you've had to endure some things much more than some of the rest of us ever will have to. But here this evening in God's Word, we meet someone who knows all about difficulties and pain and being alone, and at times might maybe being afraid and facing opposition. And that's why we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 down to the end. We learned something of the Apostle Paul, and I'm sure we all have our problems and our difficulties, but when we look at it in the light of some of what Paul had to endure in his life, certainly here is someone with a great deal of experience in facing difficulty and great pain. Perhaps you come here this evening and you are concerned about some matter, you are worried about something, and or perhaps some situation within your family, perhaps something to do with yourself, maybe your own health, your own well-being, or the health or well-being of somebody close to you, or perhaps you're concerned about your work, your security, whatever it might be. Here's Paul's advice. Here's what God's Word would say to us this evening. And we find it in two verses that are very familiar to us all, but perhaps because of their familiarity, we get used to them, and we need to be given a reminder every now and again. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Philippians 4, and verses 6 and 7, the two verses that we want to look at this evening, we have a remedy for worry, a remedy for anxiety, for concerns. And we'll look at these two verses under three headings. So what is that thing that causes you to worry, causes you to be anxious? Well, here is God's practical advice as to what to do with that matter. First of all, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. In nothing, be anxious. Perhaps the Philippians are anxious over some situation, and that's perhaps why Paul raises the matter here. Perhaps they were simply concerned about Paul's well-being. They'd been concerned about Epaphroditus, and so he was going to send Epaphroditus back to them because he'd been concerned about his well-being, his health. Perhaps they're concerned about Paul, and that's why he ends the letter in the way that he does, saying that he's thankful for how they provided for him, and they've always provided for him when others had forgotten about him or just didn't get around to doing anything. They were very faithful. And perhaps they're concerned about his well-being, or perhaps they're concerned about this situation in the church where these two ladies have some disagreement with each other, Euodias and Syntyche. But the matter hasn't just stopped there between the two ladies. It's sort of had a ripple effect in the congregation, and it's brought others into the matter and brought about some disunity among the members. And whatever it is, Paul is saying to them to stop worrying, to stop worrying. They're so worried that it's filling their minds. It's preoccupying them, and because they're full of cares for whatever the situation is, their minds are being distracted. Now, this is our natural reaction to the troubles of life, they come into our minds, they fill our minds, and we mull over them, and we think about it from different angles, and we talk to others about it and get their view, their opinion. It's a natural reaction to the troubles of life. But whatever the circumstances, whatever has given risen to their worry, Paul, the Lord, speaking through Paul, the word of God to their situation comes as a command. Just stop worrying. Be anxious for nothing. There must be no anxiety, no worry about anything. Paul's writing from prison. And he's writing from prison, and he doesn't know what another day is going to bring. He doesn't know whether he's going to live another day. And he writes from prison, and he writes to the people on the outside, and he's saying to them, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. And he's giving them instruction and advice from prison how to trust in the Lord and to walk with him, and to rejoice in their situation. And there's nobody that could be in a greater difficult circumstance than Paul. And here he is writing to them. The very thing. Don't worry. Don't worry. And here he's in prison, and he's not worried. And look at the things that are making him to rejoice. He's writing from prison. But what has that opened up for him? He's been able to witness among Caesar's household. And some of those in Caesar's own household have come to faith. So what a situation that seems to a great dilemma to those on the outside, to Paul, he's got great reason to rejoice. Because he's got to the very heart of Rome, and at the very heart of Rome, the word of God is alive and active and having an effect in the lives even among Caesar's household. So be anxious for nothing. Why? Because when we're anxious, we're trying to deal with the situation in our own strength, in our own understanding. We're trusting in ourselves, or perhaps we're trusting in things or other people. We're not trusting in the Lord. We're not acknowledging that whatever our situation or circumstance, they are His dealings with us. They are His purposes for us. We're not leaning upon Him. Rather, it's trusting in ourselves, and we've taken our eyes off Him, and we're scrambling about, and we're struggling because of a lack of trust. Perhaps we question God's wisdom, or God's care, or God's love, or God's ability to provide for us, to give us strength, to give us the grace that we need. And when we doubt these things, when we doubt God, when we're filled with fear, it will lead to fear, and it will lead to a turmoil within, and it will lead to worry, and it will lead to sleepless nights and being distracted by these things. But Paul, you don't know what it is that I'm going through, or what I have to put up with. If there was anyone in any time who could say, been there and done that, it's the Apostle Paul. This was no empty, sentimental, make you feel good answer. 2 Corinthians 11 that we read earlier. Paul knew all about hurt, being hurt by others, by being hurt by his own people. He knew all about dangers. He knew about great fear. He knew what it was to be lacking in things. He knew what it was to also have times of fullness. But having passed through such experiences in life, Paul gives them the remedy for worry. And it's still the remedy for us today. And the remedy begins, in the first place, in nothing. 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 Be anxious. No exceptions. Every situation, every circumstance, every condition in life, anything which might cause us to worry. Nothing. But how can this be? We all know, we do worry. We are concerned. We have our troubles. How can this be? How can you say this, Paul? In nothing be anxious, because in the second place, in everything pray. In everything pray. The Apostle Peter, in his letter, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We can get so distracted with the troubles and the problems that we forget that He is our Heavenly Father, and He is a Heavenly Father who does care for us. He says to us, cast all your care upon Me. Even if that burden is so heavy, and even if it's almost crushing you, cast your care. And literally, cast your care. It literally has the idea that this burden, this trouble, is so heavy that you can't lift it. So you can't hand it to the Lord. There's nothing you can do other than just roll it onto the Lord. Cast it upon Him, for He cares for you. And here is where worry begins to be dealt with. It's resolved, first of all, by our trusting in God? Do we trust God? Is our confidence in him? Because he is totally able for any and every situation. So we can confidently leave the matter in his hands. We're all here this evening a bit long in the tooth, and we've all had different experiences in life. I'm sure you've all had your share of troubles. Suddenly you find yourself hurled by the providence of God into some dark valley, some unexpected place, an awful pit of despair, some dilemma, some crisis. How are you going to cope? How are you going to deal with it? You can't. You can't. But you can by prayer. By prayer. By looking to your Father. Looking to your Father. Prayer points us away from the overwhelming darkness, from all of the confusion, and points us to him. Points us to the Lord. Points us to his resources, and points us to his promises. What he has promised to do for us. I've said it before and I'll say it again and again. When we think about the Psalms, apart from Psalm 88, those Psalms where the psalmist is crying out to God, pleading with God because of some difficult situation, some trouble, some affliction, some enemy, some threat. And every one of them, apart from Psalm 88, ends in praise and worship and thanksgiving. And what's happened? What has happened between verse 1 and the end of the psalm? In verse 1, he's distracted by the problem, by the worry, by the concern, by the trouble. And as you progress through the psalm, he turns from focus on that to focus on the Lord. And when that happens, the thing is completely turned around. We're not told that the situation changes. We're not told that the trouble goes away. But his focus and his view of the situation is totally transformed as he looks to God, just as Paul is telling us to do here. In prayer. Everything in prayer. And the Psalms end in praise, in worship, and in thanksgiving. He cares. He cares for you. Paul says, in thanksgiving we are to look to our sovereign Lord, who never acts without purpose. He had a purpose for 2 Corinthians 11 and all of those experiences with Paul. He had a purpose for him being in prison in Rome. And his purposes never fail. As Paul assures us elsewhere, his grace is always sufficient. Prayer, supplication, request. Here is the road to peace of heart and mind. One writer says, the way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. To be prayerful about everything. Paul uses these three words about prayer. Prayer, supplication, and request. Prayer is general prayer, making petitions to God. Supplication is more or less the same, except perhaps there's more of a stress on the sense of need, the sense of urgency over some matter. And requests, specific matters, details being asked for. A story that always makes me smile is in Mark chapter 10 and verse 51, where the Lord Jesus is passing and the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, calls out to him. And Jesus comes to him and he says, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you? You might think, well, it's obvious. He's a blind man. It's put him in a difficult situation. He's got a difficult life. If you can heal, you can heal this blind man. But I'm sure that's what he wanted. But Jesus asks him, what is it that you want me to do for you? And when we come to the Lord in prayer, the Lord would ask us the same question. Well, what is it you want me to do for you? Well, is it not obvious, Lord? Well, you tell me. What is it you want me to do? We're not to be vague in our prayers. We're to be definite and specific. We're to pray, we're to make supplication, to make a request known to the Lord, and we're to do so with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And that's how all of those psalms, except the 88, how all of those psalms end. They end with thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving. And the wonderful thing about thanksgiving is because when we find ourselves down some hole, in some difficult place, and we lift up our prayers to the Lord, and we do so with thanksgiving, what are we going to thank him about? We're going to thank him for everything that he has done for us already. It's going to refresh our minds of how he has provided our salvation, how he has provided for us our daily bread, how he has provided for us in giving us a counselor, a comforter, in so many ways, with thanksgiving, for blessings received, for the loving care of our Heavenly Father who's provided for us in the past, and he has promised to continue to do so in the future. So, in nothing, be anxious. Whatever it is that you're worried about or troubled with, pray. Pray. Pray about it. In everything, pray. And what he promises is, as a result, is in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The result is that God's peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. The Old Testament saints knew the same thing. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord is everlasting strength. Trust in him. That's where we're to get our strength. That's where we will get the resources that we need to deal with and to cope with this difficulty or this uncertainty. Perhaps we're worried about things that we're just uncertain about. They might never, ever happen. But they cause us to be uncertain and to be unsettled. The Lord isn't beset with troubles, isn't beset with worries. He possesses all peace, all peace. And it's his desire to give his peace to his children. And you know what? That peace is as close to us as if it was in our pocket. And we simply need to reach into our pocket and take it out. How do we know that? He has given us his Holy Spirit to indwell us. And part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. The resource is already there. We simply need to ask. He is the God of peace. And he's willing to give us that peace. It's a gift of his love. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. That is, when we experience this peace, we wouldn't be able to measure it. We wouldn't be able to get around the breadth of it, the length of it, the height of it, or the depth of it. People would say, well, how can you go through that situation? I would never be able to deal with that. How can you go through that? and to be at such so calm, to be at such peace. What God gives, when he gives, it surpasses all that we ask or could even imagine. This peace of God will keep watch over and guard our hearts and minds against worry and against the temptation to be anxious, because what we're choosing to do is to place everything trustingly in the hands of God by the prayer of faith. Paul paints a very wonderful picture here for us. He's being guarded. He's being watched over. And he thinks about the guard that surrounds him and keeps him where he is. And he says, God's peace is going to stand guard over our hearts and minds. The word that he uses for guard is a military term. It's used of a detachment of soldiers who stand guard over a city to protect it from attack. And Paul says, when we choose to turn from our troubles and our worries and turn to God in faith and bring those matters to him in prayer and trust in him to deal with them, that in turn God will set a guard over our hearts and our minds, set a guard at the door of our heart and the door of our mind to prevent being burdened by these things, from eating away at our heart, from allowing unworthy thoughts or reasonings to enter into our thoughts. But he says that this only takes place through Christ Jesus. It's only through Christ Jesus. It's only in our attachment to him, in our fellowship with him, our communion with him. Apart from him, apart from Christ, there's no surety, there's no guarantee of peace of heart or mind. God's peace will only stand guard over the hearts and minds of those who belong to him, who are in union with him, who have entered into relationship with him through faith, through trust, related to him because of his death and his resurrection. They have trusted in Christ to be their saviour from sin. Because they've trusted in Christ to save them from their sin, now they are at peace with God. Relationship has been restored with our Creator. We're at peace with God. Because we're now at peace with God, we can receive his peace for these particular difficult situations and times of stress or anxiety. If anyone is outside of Christ, there's no peace with God, and there's no possibility of having this type of peace of mind and heart. Such a life is a life in turmoil without God, and a life in turmoil with the troubles of this world. And what we ought to do, whether we need to run to God for the first time, we all need to run to God, the God of peace, perhaps to make peace with him, to have our sin dealt with as we cast ourselves and our sin upon Christ. But every one of us, whether we have been a believer for a short time or for many, many years, we need to cast ourselves continually upon Christ. There's only one place of safety, and there's only one safe place, one fortress, and that is Christ Jesus. So whatever it is that you came in with this evening and through that door, God's saying to you, leave it here. Leave it with me. Don't go home. Don't go home. Don't go to bed and snatch it out of my hand again and start to worry and mull over it again and again and again. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, pray. And if it comes to haunt you before you go to sleep, Lord, Lord, guard my heart. Guard my mind with your peace. In nothing be anxious, in everything pray. In Christ Jesus, peace. Amen. Let's conclude as we worship him. Psalm 84 that I chose for the last psalm that Colin introduced, and our last psalm, Psalm 122, both speak about the delight of the believer going to be with other believers in the house of the Lord and coming to worship him. And Psalm 122, the psalmist speaks of his great delight, his pleasure in coming to worship. He brings the Lord his praise, and he also makes known his prayer. And his prayer is for peace. Perhaps peace for him, but certainly peace within the house of God, within the people who belong to the Lord. The final two verses now. For my friends and brethren's sake, peace be in thee, I'll say, and for the house of God, our Lord, I'll seek thy good alway. He's praying for peace, but he's also praying that he will be an instrument of peace within the congregation and within the work of the Lord. So let us be not only find peace with God ourselves, but also to seek to be peacemakers and peace encouragers for those that we know are in trouble and perhaps need some help and encouragement through difficult patches, just to let them know that we are praying with them, that they would know this peace and security from the Lord. Psalm 122, we'll sing all of it. I can't see the wee piece of paper. What the tune?
Perfect Way.
Okay, let's stand and praise God.